You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yes, it is.
I tried a different little voice there.
It freaked me out a little bit.
Watchathon of Rassilon. It's almost Dalek-y.
It was a little intense.
Watchathon of Rassilon. You know how
it felt really aggressive, and I don't feel like it's the right energy.
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
So that's maybe split the difference.
Watchathon of Rassilon.
How is that splitting the difference? No, okay. Listen.
If you play those two things, all three together, they cancel each other out.
Okay, we should start the right. Episode.
This episode?
Yeah, let's. Okay. Yeah.
Play the theme song. Today we're going to be talking about the fifth serial of the 20th season of Doctor Who, Enlightenment, which consists of four episodes that aired from March 1st, 1983 to March 9th, 1983. And I want to give a special shout out to Matthew Golden for sponsoring this episode.
I choked on my own spit. Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can check out his website or him or whatever at matthewgolden.net. He's got shit there that you should look at with your eyeballs. And how you doing?
I'm so uncomfortable.
Why are you uncomfortable?
I don't know. I'm like sitting
We're sitting on opposite sides of the couch than we normally sit on.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And like the pillow that was the cushion that was behind me was too high, so I had to pull it down. And then I'm sitting with like the weighted blanket, and every time I move, you can just hear like soft maraca sounds. I don't know, it's just a lot. A lot's going on over here on my side of the couch. My
exciting though.
My knee started to fall asleep, which I didn't even know could happen.
Yeah, I've seen it. Can we talk about that blanket?
Yeah,
it's 15 pounds. That's too many pounds.
I've actually been thinking about getting the getting the 20 pound one.
I can barely move that one.
I just want to feel like somebody's laying on top of me. It's Kinky. Very common.
Is there anything going on in our lives we should be talking about?
Just like a billion terrible things. I don't know.
Yeah, a billion terrible things. I just want to say right off the bat, thanks to those of you. Tony mostly started a GoFundMe for my dad, who is having heart issues and anemia issues. And he's got some medical bills. So we started a GoFundMe for him. And real quick, we just skyrocketed up there with our goal. And some of you listeners and friends of Rassilon threw some of your money in. And I just want to say I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It's been sweet watching people share it and stuff.
And like, my dad's real cool. And if it wasn't for my dad, this podcast wouldn't exist.
Because
I wouldn't exist, yes.
And I would not be doing this without Joe.
So, in a roundabout way, this is my dad's fault. but yeah, I thank you and he thanks you. I don't know, the GoFundMe's probably still not up because this goes out in like 3 weeks or something. But if it is,
GoFundMe's don't expire. And we are, I think, almost halfway there or a little over halfway there the last time that I checked.
And there's probably going to be more medical expenses because they're doing a scope to see what's wrong. And then they might have to do more stuff later to fix what's wrong. They might be able to fix it during the scope.
Yeah.
But there might be more.
It's a lot of unknowns, which is just what this year is about.
The year of the unknown.
You can't make plans. You can't.
You know what we all need?
A road trip.
Well, I mean, no.
I want to go on a road trip so bad. There's nowhere to go. I want to go on a road trip so bad.
What I was going to say is...
A road trip.
No. You're killing my great segue
all
here.
All right, all right.
What we all need is a little bit of enlightenment.
Or a really good road trip.
Sure. An enlightening road trip. Are we ready? Let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about... Let's dive right into enlightenment. Episode 1, which I have titled The Eternal Race.
Oh.
Yeah, because...
It's a race and also there's a race.
What? There's a... I mean, the Eternals are in this.
Are a race of people.
Sure.
And also, they're racing.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really thinking about it, at them as a race. I don't
see
Eternals.
Well, you know, never mind then. I was going to say I like this one, but clearly you don't. You just are mashing words together.
No, death of the author, so it's still fine.
Ugh, Turlo's in this.
Turlo is in this one. He's actually proper in this one in a way where he's incorporated with the story and he has a point and a purpose and it works and it's good. So we'll talk about that. But yes, first we start with Turlo playing chess, presumably with Tegan, but mostly with himself, because I think he's like futzed with stuff on the TARDIS and it's they don't know that. And he's just like, it was me. He's playing chess while the Doctor and Tegan try to figure out why the lights are dim, which...
Ooh.
Oof, it's so good.
It looks so beautiful. I just want to live there all the time. Do we need to buy more lamps?
Or just turn the ones lights we have down on down, because we can.
It's true. They are on a dimmer switch. There's a friend of ours who has like the string lights... And candles and little lamps all over. And whenever we go to our house, it's all cozy. And that's what this lighting feels like.
Shout out to Abby.
Yeah.
I wish they'd keep the TARDIS like this all the time.
Yeah.
It's very... And well, I'm not
Do
the
we say
only
that
one.
it's the roundels that are...
Yeah, they're like dim and they're like orange. It's like it gives an orange glow.
Warm.
It's not a big, bright, flat lighting. It's like moody. It's nice.
It is nice. I liked being there.
Not only do we like it, but the cast did too. Like,
really?
I was watching the documentary and Peter Davison was like, why didn't we do this shit all the time? It looks great. Why we always gotta blow everything out? It's boring and flat. And he's like, that looked good. And like, I'm like, I was on set like, why don't we do this all the time? And I agree. And he was like, it was probably like people, like, there's all these reasons for it. And like, probably like, oh, it'll scare the children. And so what? Or no, he's like, or old people think like something's wrong with their
something
TV
wrong
set.
With their TV.
And he's like, so? Looks better.
It truly, it looks great. The reason why the lights are out is because like there's something going on with like the power of the TARDIS, right?
Yeah, I think Turlo did something. I'm not 100% certain, but I think Turlo did
something.
But it
does, it feels like when you lose power at home and so you've just got like a bunch of lanterns everywhere. It's got that same feeling.
Yeah, it's very nice. So they're going around trying to fix this. And they start hearing a voice, and there's a lot of repetition. I think he says, like, move, 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 or something like that.
It's the White Guardian.
Yeah, so he's trying to call in, and he's got a real bad connection.
Like the little, like, oh, shoot, that has a name. When you, like, are shooting lights in soft focus, and they do all those, they just become little circles. That has a name. What is it called?
I know what you're talking about. Like a sort of, not really a kind of like a kaleidoscope effect, sort of. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the specific name for it.
Poke?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's what he has like kind of laid over him as he's like phasing in and out. And it looks nice.
I will say, a lot of the special effects for this they got the original director, I think it's Fiona Cumming, and she re-edited the whole thing into one episode, like one feature-length thing, and I redid a lot of the special effects, and I watched some of that. I don't care for it.
When? Like recently?
Whenever they released the DVD.
Oh, okay.
They updated a lot of the special effects. They've also updated, like, they fine-tuned any time, like, the Black Guardian and the White Guardian appears throughout this whole trilogy. And they got rid of that cool-looking spiral behind Turlo and the Black Guardian in Modern Undead. Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
But they did, they tied some all of it together, and they CGI'd the ships, which I don't like because I prefer the models we get in this one. They did a lot of it, and the only thing that I kind of like was they, you know, this is way in episode four when they get to actually get to the city, the like Enlightenment. The top of it looks like Turlo's crystal.
Oh, that's smart, yeah.
But here in episode one, the White Guardian calls in. He's not super helpful. This is the same actor who played the White Guardian in Rebos, by the way, who was sitting in that wicker chair looking like Colonel Sanders. Except now he has a ridiculous bird hat to match the Black Guardian's ridiculous bird hat.
It's got googly eyes. It looks exactly like it has googly eyes. It's amazing.
The actor apparently loved it and was making jokes about it the whole time.
Good.
But he says, there's danger, and gives the doctor some coordinates. Like I said, it's very choppy, though, because he keeps fading in and out. Which I think is just the actor who just stops talking. Like, it cuts out completely. It doesn't, like, fade up and down.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, what? Chicken tacos. Right? And a Sprite.
But then the TARDIS console kind of explodes.
They're focusing all the power trying to get him, the White Guardian's message to be clear, and it's overloading the TARDIS. Then the Black Guardian interrupts the call. He just appears over
just
the White
to, like,
Guardian.
Just laugh, right? Like,
this isn't going to work. And then they fade away. That's about it. Just to establish that he's there. The TARDIS lands where the doctor puts in the coordinates or whatever. The TARDIS lands and the chessboard tips over and no one gets mad about it.
Did you think someone would be mad? Is this the moment where, like, the chessboard and, like, the coat rack and everything falls over?
Yeah, well, I think Turlo just, when he, like, they land and everybody, you know, jostles like they do, and, like, Turlo, the actor, like, picks up the chessboard.
Yeah, but nobody's near the coat rack. The coat rack
probably got
falls.
That on a wire.
I was very impressed by it when we were watching it. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, whoa, stuff fell over. It's really moving.
Mark Strickson definitely grabs the chessboard as he goes down. It's effective, though.
I was very impressed.
So they decide that the Doctor and Turlo will investigate where they're at while Tegan stays behind in case the White Guardian calls back in. So they go out there, and they're on a ship. There's, like, they feel like it moving, and they, like a ship, not like a spaceship, like a...
Well,
I almost called this episode The Spaceship.
Oh, God, I just, the aesthetics of this serial.
What era would it be? Like a Victorian era boat or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, ship, sailboat, I don't know. Yacht, is that the word I'm looking for? Yacht. It's a big old boat.
It's a boat and it's big.
I don't know my boats. And while they're looking around, I think they head off.
The White Guardian comes back and has a little bit of a chat with Tegan, right?
Well, before that happens, there are some hands that pop up on the view screen.
Oh my God, you're right!
And then this guy pulls himself up, because this is theoretically the top of the TARDIS. That's where the scanner thing is, so they can get that 360 thing.
Oh!
So that's why he's crawling up. He's, like, trying to peer in. That's why he falls later, too, by the way.
I've never conceptualized that that's what that is. Huh.
They think they say that on the documentary. Also, speaking of watching the documentary, I realized, well, I've been told this before, but then, like, seeing it. This is written and directed by a woman. Well, two women. And it's the first time that's ever happened.
That's why it's so good.
And it doesn't happen again until The Witchfinders, I think?
No shit.
Huh. I mean, women have directed it and women have written it.
But not both at the same time.
Yeah. Huh. But they seem really cool. Just from the documentaries. Especially the writer, who just seems like somebody's grandma.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she probably wasn't at the time. But most of her comments were like, they wanted me to add a thing. So I added a thing. She wasn't, like, going real into depth about the process. She's just like, it's a job. But
they asked me to write it, so I wrote it.
So yeah, like, it's just pitch black, and then hands pop up, and then the dude's face pops
up.
Mariner. It's the creep.
That is who it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy is going to become creepily attached to Tegan.
I called that within 5 seconds of seeing this dude's face. I knew who he was.
Tegan eventually does see him, and then he tips over backwards and falls. And you said, what was it you said when that happened?
I said, that is a very specific looking man. Yes. And then after like a couple more minutes, I was like, I know what it is. I was like, that is a dude who like, you would have to lie and say that you were like married to get him to stop hitting on you. And he still wouldn't stop hitting on you. And I was right. That's this dude's whole deal.
So, but yeah, you're right. While that was happening, the White Guardian calls in and just says some shit we can't follow. And then he says like, cannot win. Winner takes all. And then the console explodes. And
not super helpful.
We just know that somebody cannot win and that the winner will take all. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Turlough have wandered around and they have found a room full of sailors. The Doctor and Turlough find a room full of seamen. And they try to fit in. The Doctor's just reading a paper.
Honestly, it went both better and worse than I expected. Like, I kind of expected the sailors to be like, why the fuck are you on this ship? Like, most people are when the Doctor shows up.
The Doctor does eventually introduce himself as the Doctor, and they think that is the cook. Because that's ship parlance. Ship language. Ship slang. That's the word I'm looking for.
I feel like you tried something, and then you started to doubt yourself, and it all fell apart.
Yeah. That's the lingo, ship lingo.
That's my favorite game show.
Really? I heard the guy who hosts it is kind of a douchebag, though.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, the doctor means the cook. And so they're like, great, we're hungry.
Which Tarlo thinks is hilarious because the doctor is offended by.
This is the first time I've like legitimately like just enjoyed Tarlo. I mean, I've liked Tarlo, but like this is the first time as a character I'm like, because he just thinks the doctor is an idiot. Tegan, meanwhile, leaves the ship because what else is she going to do? It exploded. The guy's not going to call back in. Not without a new phone. But Tegan finds Mariner. He says he's going to put her in irons. So she obviously runs away, but he eventually catches her.
He says it in the grossest way possible, too.
He says everything in the grossest way possible.
Like, he's definitely flirting when he says that. And it's... Ugh. Ugh.
Apparently something that him and eventually we'll get to the captain. Something that they did as actors was that they both tried to do it with the least amount of emotion possible, but without being boring. And they don't blink. Or at least they rarely blink. I think I caught one. But they don't blink and they are very emotionless. And it's very creepy. The Doctor and Turlough are talking to the sailors, trying to figure out what's going on. They say that they've been below deck for like 2 days and they've been waiting to do whatever they've been hired to do.
Also, but none of them can remember before being on the ship.
I think they have memories before the ship, but they don't know how they got here.
On the ship.
Yeah, there's like a gap. And I think they say something about, oh yeah, we must have got real drunk. But there's one guy who's like, I don't drink, so that's weird. Huh, I haven't thought about that. Because that also becomes a plot point later that he doesn't drink. A minor plot point, but they do mention that they are going to race. They're in a race. They're going to be in a race. That's what they've been hired to do, is help this boat, this ship, win a race. Meanwhile, Mariner starts to pick up on the creepy, talking to Tegan. Because she's like, you know, what are you going to do with me? And blah, 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 blah. Are you going to hurt me? And he's like, I just want to please you. I find you fascinating. The sailors talk about flying ships, though they're talking about how fast it is. Though that's also a clue or foreshadowing. Because they don't know it's a flying ship.
No. They're just regular old human people.
Yeah. Also, they make a joke about pigs not being able to look up. And I had no idea what the fuck it was about. Like, why can't pigs do something on a ship? Because they can't look aloft or something like that. I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pigs can't look up. It's just true. Pigs can't look up. I didn't know this.
Is it actually true?
It's actually true. Pigs can't. The only way they can look up is by rolling on their back. Their necks don't go that way. Because they just pigs. Big old chub boys. Pigs can't look up!
Do they get hit on the head?
They can, I guess. That'd be mean.
I'm saying!
But pigs don't look up. They can't look up. Dogs can. Contrary to Shaun of the Dead. Dogs can look up. But pigs can't.
Well, now you know.
I still don't get the joke. I don't know why he's like, hey, do you know why pigs can't be on a boat? Because they can't look up. Huh?
You're not a sailor.
They just die laughing.
You'd get it if you were a sailor.
Yeah, I'm not a sailor, though. Are you a sailor? You curse like one.
I am an honorary sailor. due to my cursing. But, so I get how funny that joke is.
I don't believe you. An officer, all dressed up, all fancy, comes and gets the doctor and takes him away. Leaves Turlo, though. And the doctor and Tegan meet at a dinner table. They're brought to the same room where they meet the captain of the ship, Captain Stryker, who was very creepy and very good and very intense, and I like him a lot.
Then they just have dinner.
Yeah.
It looks good. Looks fancy. It
does. And the ship moves, and like all their wine breaks. It was very sad. Nothing else moves on the table, which is good because there's a shit ton of candles. Seems dangerous.
The candles got some sort of science on them so that they can't move. But you got to be able to pick up a glass.
It's probably like mounted to the table, like screwed in or something.
Magnets.
I mean, we will later real big magnets. Some technology on the ship, so it could be magnets. You probably shouldn't have magnets on a ship.
Probably not. Not real strong ones.
That'd be bad. So yes, the ship moves and they're like, the race is on. Dinner's over. And they leave. And like, Teen's like, come on. And the doctor takes a second to finish his dessert, wipes his mouth, and then leaves. I thought that was a real funny moment. He's real good about small little beats.
Little gags and stuff, yeah.
There's some more food gags coming with the doctor this serial. So then the doctor reunites with Turlo. They're all sort of back together. And everybody's rushing to the upper deck to get started on doing ship things. And we hear a sailor scream just off camera, just terrified.
Yeah, and Mariner's like, yeah, they do that sometimes. I wouldn't worry about it.
When they see what's up there or what's not up there. So they're heading towards the, like, the room with the wheel that makes the things go. The big main room. You know what I mean? On a ship. The room. Like, if this was, a spaceship, I'd say, like, control deck or something. Is that, I don't know what it's called on a ship.
I know, because I'm an honorary sailor, but I won't tell you.
You don't know either.
I don't.
But on their way there, Tegan sees some wetsuits. Which are a little bit like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Spacesuits?
No, I want to say anachronistic, and that's not right.
Anachronistic?
Anachronistic. Is that right?
I don't know. Like not... As soon as I said it, I doubted that that was how you pronounced it.
But then, like, it's out of place, out of time. This isn't a sort of thing that would be on the ship during that time, right? Is that yes. The word I'm looking for? And then they all go into the main room. They look at some maps. The doctor gets an idea of what's going on because he recognizes the maps. There's like markers on it to track out the race course.
Man, you know who would know about the parts of a boat?
Steve Conway.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve. If you're listening to that, I bet you hate us.
That must have been very frustrating.
If you don't know who Steve Conway is, he is a friend of Rassilon who worked for a pirate radio. For a while. So he knows all about boats, probably. I don't know. He was a DJ. Maybe he doesn't know about boats. I mean, like, I was on one. I don't know what the specifics are.
I drive my car
are.
Every day. I can't fix it.
Yeah. So he's probably smarter than us.
Oh, almost certainly. Most people are.
Steve Conway, I want a report after our episode that details all the things we got wrong and what we should have said instead.
If you can just give us a rundown of boat knowledge, that would be great.
Just like a diagram, a chart.
I know. Bow, stern, starboard.
Take a bow, stern,
port, features. And starboard.
Starlord?
Star. I can't say it.
Ant-Man. Thor, Captain Marvel, Black Panther.
Okay. I should not have interrupted you to talk about boats. I'm sorry. What were
we... You're going to have your honorary sailorship revoked. The captain lifts up this little thing on the like dash, and it's like a little wood panel. He flips up, and there's a bunch of electronic controls in there.
And then that's when we see the ship, and it's in space, and it's cool. Oh, yeah. It's so cool.
Well, yeah, they open the window, and there's like four or five ships out there. Just that look like boats, but they're in space. They don't look like spaceships. They look like boats. They look like ships. It's really cool.
And then it's just, you know, like up against the like blackness with like a couple of stars. It's so great.
We only see it sort of from the side and it's very storybook-esque to me.
Yeah.
And the new version, like they're like moving in three dimensions and they look like CGI ships and it's less fun. Less fun.
Yeah, it does have like a storybook, like almost like a theater feel.
It feels to me.
Which is great.
A little bit like Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
Specifically Baron Munchausen when they're like in boats.
The part with boats.
Especially the part where they go to the moon. So that's the end of episode one is spaceships. We're now into episode two, which I've called Beat the Greek.
I haven't. The foggiest idea what that's about. Oh, yeah, I do.
Tegan immediately gets space sick.
So, relatable.
So Mariner takes her away to her quarters. The doctor tries to sneakily send Turlough to find Tegan, but Stryker overhears? And says, you are guests, not prisoners, so you don't have to be sneaky. I say overhears? Because spoilers, they can read minds.
They're also, like, not great at it all the time, though.
Well, like, if they get distracted, they can't. They have to, like, be focused on
yeah.
But Tegan gets taken to her room and has a severe headache, says she wants to die. Relatable.
Very relatable.
So Mariner's like, let me give you this drink. That's not suspicious.
It's so suspicious, and Tegan's like, no thanks, I'm good.
He doesn't even say, let me give you this drink. He says, let me give you this mixture, which is somehow worse.
So much worse. What's in the mixture? A mixture of what?
I mean...
He does drink, like, he
rum
does...
Rum and Rufinol, probably.
Yeah. He does drink some of it to show that it's safe. And then right. Tegan finally drinks it.
And then passes the fuck out. So, they get to their first marker buoy, I think, which is Venus. They get to Venus, and Stryker is showing the doctor the competition. And he's like, we need to beat the Greek. There's this Greek person. He shows him like a Greek ship. And then it's like period accurate. Like nerds love it.
Except for one thing.
Right. The Greek is wearing a jewel on his ring. And he's like, that's not period accurate. And he's like, well.
Should ask him about that.
And that'll come up later. It's like, and it's a red jewel. It's a bright red jewel. Turlough gets to Tegan's room, wakes her up, and she feels fine. She's great now. No more sickness.
But the room has some of her stuff, like, from the TARDIS and from her, I guess, what her room on Earth would have been.
Including a picture of her Aunt Vanessa.
Aw.
They actually brought that actress in for a day to take that picture.
Really?
Really.
Huh.
And I guess they had to pay her and everything, too. Just to take her picture to put on the little nightstand there. You think they would have had like a publicity photo or something from Castrovalva, but nah. But yeah, it's got that wicker chair in there too that she has in her room. So the doctor gets mad about Captain Stryker using humans or ephemerals, as the captain calls them. Basically what they do is, I don't know if the doctor realizes the fullness of this yet, but like they've got these like, human slaves, basically,
mm-hmm.
that do stuff for them. And I think this is revealed later, but I'm going to reveal it now. Who cares? The Eternals, like Stryker and Mariner and whatnot, basically don't have an original bone in their damn body.
Yeah, they don't have the creativity that comes with having a short life.
So they just use the knowledge of humans to get by. Like, they just steal it, basically. That's where the ship comes from. And they make it real. What they take humans' thoughts and make it real. But they can't do stuff themselves. Because they basic. The doctor realizes that the captain is psychic because the captain calls him a Time Lord and stuff. And he's, like, squinching his eyes real hard, like, Time Lord? So he's picking up his brain thoughts.
His brain thoughts. They kind of go back and forth, like, they can't decide whether or not the doctor is ephemeral or not.
Right. Because they're like, you're
not ephemeral. And then
you're a time traveler.
Yeah.
The sailors all get put in diving suits, the wet suits, and they're like lining up to take a drink. And they get a drink of the mixture. The one guy who doesn't drink, his name's Jackson. He tries to swing Turlough to his side. He's like, I'm not going to drink that stuff. And also, I think that like things are bad here. I don't trust anybody. And he's like, I've got a key to where they keep the mixture.
Like the liquor cabinet.
Yeah. And we're going to take it and we're going to dump it over the side. I think it's making everybody sort of be more susceptible to him or whatever.
Like that's what's making people forget and stuff.
Yeah. So he's like, well, you and I are in this together, Turlough. I can trust you.
Why does he pick Turlough to trust? What terrible instincts.
And then Jackson refuses to drink, but they force him to work for them anyway. There's a line I like with the doctor, once again, is like getting on to Stryker for like, this is bullshit and this is bad. And he's like, Stryker says, this is the kind of excitement that makes eternity bearable. There's a lot of that sort of stuff in this where they're like, we're hella bored. We've been alive for too long. They almost crash into a planet. I think Venus, I'm not sure. They're like scooching around it, like Farscape style. They got to go around this planet and they almost crash into it, but they don't. But the Greek ship supposedly does hit it and then explodes. Supposedly does this.
Because that's not what happens.
That's not what happens. They're like, the gravitational pull got him. And the doctor's like, I don't think it was a gravitational pull. And he talks to Tegan Turlough about this separately and says, like, I think there was some sort of sabotage or, you know, something's up. Something's up. Something not cool about that.
Oh, so yeah, this is just when the doctor figures out that they're sort of, he calls them parasites.
And Stryker's real racist against the humans and says that they are just diversions, toys, even. They just don't think of them as people.
No.
He is also like, this whole thing is a diversion. It's just something to pass the time. And the doctor's like, if this is a distraction, why is someone taking it so seriously? You know, murdering people. And then this is like, the doctor leaves and Stryker asks, where are you going? And the doctor's like, you don't know? He says where he's going. I don't remember. It's like Tegan's room or something. He's like, but you didn't know for a second. You didn't know.
Interesting.
Oh, that was good. That's a good scene.
That was a great scene.
Meanwhile, Mariner is following Tegan around like a goddamn puppy, but like less cute.
You know, the kind of puppy that shits on everything.
She's like, what happens to the people once this is over? And he's like, oh, they just go, you know, they go back. He's like, she's like worried about because that ship exploded. She's like, what happens to them? And he's like, oh, they just go back to where they were. You know, Eternals can't die.
And so Tegan's like, and the crew? The crew just go back?
Oh, no, but their lives are short anyway.
They just die and also, like, don't think of them as people.
Yeah, and then when this whole thing, like, we treat them nicely when they're here, but then when it's over, eh. We don't send them back. That takes too much energy and effort. And then she gets real pissed off at him, and then he's like, but not you. She's like, I'm one of those ephemerals. And he's like, but you're different. You're not like the other ephemerals. You can tell this serial was written by a woman.
Absolutely. This guy fucking sucks. I hate him so much.
The Black Guardian calls in and checks in on Turlough and says, you're not doing shit, and chokes him. Curses him to, you'll never leave this ship ever.
He chokes him and he's like, I'm going to kill you because you didn't do what I said. But then he doesn't. And it's like, where's your follow through? Maybe that's your problem, Black Guardian.
And then Turlough falls to the ground unconscious or whatever. And the Black Guardian, as we were told that this would happen in advance, that there would be something in this serial. And then Chris Cherry said, listen out for it. And it was this. The Black Guardian goes, nyeh, 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 nyeh. He does the greatest laugh. I'm just going to edit it in right here. That's the laugh.
It is pretty magnificent.
It is so good. He does it twice in this serial, and it's good both times. Apparently, Chris Cherry would watch that like once a week. Just the laugh.
That makes sense. I believe that.
That sounds like something she'd do. So then the doctor fills in Tegan about the Eternals and stuff, and he's like, this is all the stuff that's going on that I figured out. And then she's just like, this is too much. I can't, because he's like, you need to like guard your mind against them and stuff because they can read minds. And she's like, I can't, this is too much. I can't do this. Can I? I just want to go back to the TARDIS. No,
she's out. She's out.
And when she says, I want to go back to the TARDIS, it cuts to like Stryker and he's like, TARDIS, because he's listening in because they got brain powers. They can hear those brain thoughts. Then they leave. They find Turlough and they're like, what happened to you? And he's like, oh, I fell. And like, why do you have marks on your, like finger marks on your neck? I fell on my hand. I mean, he doesn't say that, but he's like, this place is evil. I want to leave. So like both him and Tegan want to leave. They say that sort of like, she's like, I want to leave. And he's like, I want to leave too. And the doctor just looks at him like, y'all motherfuckers, we're on a goddamn adventure. We do this every week. You know, you just want to quit? Bullshit. Bullshit. But he's like, fine, I'll take you back to the TARDIS. And they get there, and the TARDIS is gone because the captain overheard and got rid of it. And they are caught by them and taken away. And Mariner is like, I want to take Tegan. Can I have Tegan? She's mine. And he makes her wear a wetsuit and drags her outside to show her the stars.
God, this guy's the worst.
And at one point he's like, by the way, you can breathe. And just opens her helmet.
Yeah.
She's like, what the fuck's your problem? It's like, there's a shield around it.
He literally is like, I was just showing you you can trust me. I'm just violating all your boundaries to show what a great guy I am. Ooh, this guy sucks.
Meanwhile, the doctor and Turlough get taken to the captain. And Turlough immediately is like, because they're like, we're going to do bad. You know, you're our prisoners now or whatever. I don't know. And Turlough just immediately starts going, oh, there's a revolt on your ship. There's this guy named Jackson who, like, gave me a key. And don't do anything bad to me.
So then, fast, Turlough.
And the captain is like, I fucking already knew this. We can read goddamn minds.
So you were just an ass for no reason. Congrats.
The doctor gives Turlough a look like, what the fuck, man? This is the second time I've been super disappointed in you. But Turlough's like, they knew anyway, so it wasn't like I gave him up.
That's fine.
Turlough. And I believe it is around this point that the doctor is sort of like, what are we even doing here? And Stryker says that the prize of winning this race is enlightenment. And he's like, I'll get to do the thing that I most want to do, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Don't even ask.
Line delivery had me dying. It's so intense. And like, also, no one asked.
So they all get put in wetsuits. The doctor and Turlough. That's why Turlough was trying to be like, I don't want to work on the deck. They're going to make him work on the deck. And they get up there and Turlough starts hearing the Black Guardian like tormenting him, just hearing his voice like,
he's not even telling him to kill the doctor anymore. Now he's just like,
you're a little shit.
No one likes you, Turlough.
That's not even your real hair color. This convinces Turlough to kill himself. He climbs up the side of the ship and jumps off. The doctor goes, no. And that is the end of episode 2. We're now into episode 3, which I've called Turloverboard.
Fuck off.
Turloverboard.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
Fuck right off.
You don't like that one?
I hate it.
Just think about this, though, for a second. Turloverboard. Then we get a slightly different recap of Turlough jumping off. Instead of the doctor going, no, he goes, don't be an idiot.
Oh, that's so much harsher.
And then Turlough drifts through space and it looks kind of cool.
It looks cool and it's very upsetting.
Mariner is just like watching it like, huh, he's very indifferent.
Can't fathom why Tegan's upset.
Yeah, me either. Why would she be upset? She doesn't like Turlough.
I mean, he's an ass, but he's a human being.
Is he?
Well, no, I guess not. He's an ass, but he's an alive person.
Sure. He looks human. So the doctor's like, fucking throw a lifesaver out there. So they do. And it looks really good. There's one small bit where it looks a little hokey. But for most part, it looks good. They again replace it with CGI and it looks, I don't care for it.
Why'd you watch the CGI if you knew it was going to make you mad?
Because I want to be mad sometimes.
Okay.
But he reaches out and he can't quite grab it. And he gets caught in a net by another ship, the Buccaneer. And he is brought on board the Buccaneer. I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
I don't know.
So he gets brought on board the ship by a pirate. I want to talk about this one pirate before we get to the main pirate. I forget his name. It's Mansell. Who, this is his first acting job. And you can tell.
He just moves his whole body when he doesn't need to be moving his whole body.
Apparently, he was in a very famous band at the time. Like, they had some hits and stuff. I don't know the band. I think it's The Imaginations. I don't know.
You would have put in the notes.
Yeah, I should have put it in my notes. Lee John is his name. I say Lee John because it's three fucking E's.
Okay.
It's L-E-E-E John.
That's his business.
John spelled like you'd expect. Unless you didn't expect it to have an H, because it does. This was his first acting role. He was in a band. What was the band he was in?
Oh my god, this is good audio.
He was a singer of the British pop group Imagination, which he formed in 1981. Someone called him the pioneer of British soul music. He has, like, sort of a soul vibe about, like, he's grooving.
Whenever he moves,
it's just like, hey, what's going on?
Can we talk about...
And he says all of his lines like this. It's great. He's great. I love him very much.
Can we talk about the main pirate, though?
Turlo is brought by Mansell to Captain Rack.
She's so hot.
W-R-A-C-K.
Like, aggressively hot.
She is the pirate captain of this ship. She is great. We've actually heard her before on this show.
I can't believe this, yeah.
She previously provided the vocals to the Ballad of the Last Chance Saloon.
In the Last Chance Saloon.
Yeah, I just played it right there. Did you hear it? That's from The Gunfighters, but she's great here. We actually get to see her, and she's what you'd imagine a pirate captain woman to look like. She swings a sword over Turlo's head and is like, this is great. You've made this sword great. And it's got a jewel in it. It was the same jewel that we saw the Greek wearing, and it is a gift for another ship. She's sending Mansell to invite Captain Stryker over to her boat for a party. Oh, one other thing about Mansell real quick. There's occasionally he mans the boat, he grabs the wheel, and the camera is focused on him while stuff is happening, like the plot is happening in the background. It's yeah. Not like, I don't know why it's the camera's focused on him, because it's the stuff that's happening is not, he's not doing anything except moving the ship wheel.
That's just him stealing the scene.
He is like really intense into it as well, just, oh yeah, I am driving the hell out of this boat. That's great. Back on, I don't remember what the name of the main ship is. Mariner fills in Tegan about Turlo's safe, because Mansell's come on board. You know, everything's cool. And, like, he's just reading her mind, just casually. And then she's like, hey, fucking stop. So she turns her brain off, basically. And he's like, what? Why would you do that? I don't understand. Why don't you want me just poking around in your brain?
Why don't you want me just reading all your thoughts? But it's also like another thing where he's like, I didn't know that ephemerals could do that. You're so interesting.
I got a lot of Twilight vibes from this. Just the way that like fucking shit, I've forgotten his name. Edward?
Yes. I don't know.
He's very creepy about Bella. I've consumed too much Twilight media. I read the first book and I've seen all the movies except for the last one.
I've never Some really of them, seen any of it.
Not of my own volition. I don't like any of them. Mansell shows up with the invite. Stryker declines, but the doctor and Tegan are like, we'll go, because our boy's over there. I guess he's our boy.
Nobody else is here to claim him, so.
And Mariner's like, Tegan's going? I'll go too.
He fucking sucks.
Meanwhile, Turlo has been tied up and is being poked a bit with a knife by the Captain Rack. She's like, what's up with you? What's your deal?
Turlo's like, here's my deal. I'm a conniving little shit. And I don't give a damn about anyone who isn't me. I came over here.
Oh, wait. I also give a damn about you because I don't want you to kill me.
Yeah. I came over here because you're a winner. And I want to be with the winner.
Also, it'd be cool to learn how to read minds. And she's like, well, if you want to be on my team, you got to let me read your mind. Stop blocking that shit off. Then Tegan gets ready for the party they're about to go to.
She looks lovely.
She's just like, it's like beauty from Beauty and the Beast, basically.
Yeah.
Apparently she had a hard time staying inside the dress.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Also, she said that there's a scene later on when she's there with like Captain Rack. Apparently the director was calling it like the director or producer, somebody was calling it the battle. The like battling bosoms between her and Captain Rack.
Oh no.
But yes, she's got a very fancy dress and she's like, doctor, what do you think? And he's like, huh, and then moves on.
I honestly don't know if the doctor can see clothes.
Every single time this has happened in the past, he's not given a shit. Except once when Leela did it, when she got the fancy clothes in Talons of Wang Chiang. And then he was like weirdly creepy about it.
Was
and
he?
And it felt off. Both him and Lightfoot or Jago, I don't remember which one, are just like, look how great she looks. And they're just like, yeah, she looks great. And it's like, this feels weird.
Yeah, the doctor can't see clothing. That's why they dress like that.
It all makes sense. But they're about to head over, but they are delayed by an asteroid storm. They're going to have to wait that out. Meanwhile, Rack's like, all right, Turlo, I'll show you how I win. This is when Mansell's just like, manning that.
Yeah, sail. I have no idea what happened in this scene. Because all eyes on him, man.
You're drawn in by that performance. And she's like, come here, I'll show you how I win. She takes him to this room. It's vacuum shielded. Like, there's a big lever that says vacuum shield off or on. She goes in there and locks him out. It's just immediately. She shuts the door in his face and he doesn't go in. And he hears a voice. Here's the Black Guardian. And she's laughing as well. Back on the other ship, we see there's another ship. I think they mentioned the captain. This one who got the sword. It's the boat that got the sword with the jewel in it.
It blows up.
It explodes. Presumably destroyed by the asteroids. Hit by the asteroids and explodes. But that's not it. Because then immediately after that, Rack exits the room. And he's like, "What?" Darla's like, what did you do? And she's like, I improved my chances of winning. I don't know why I brought you down here. And so they go, all go to the dinner party. And there's a dinner party. It's very nice. The music's really good. The vibe is very chill. There's just all these different people hanging out, eating food, chit-chatting. It's really nice.
It is nice. I always love a good party scene.
Turlo pretty much immediately sneaks away back to that vacuum-shielded room. Tegan almost gets a drink, and the doctor does not let her because the doctor is smart. Stop drinking strangers' alcohol.
Yeah, but this was champagne.
I think it was wine.
Champagne. I specifically remember because I enjoy champagne.
You're like, oh, she didn't get her champagne.
Yeah. I mean, the doctor specifically says, like, they offer her champagne, and he's like, we don't have your constitution or whatever.
Right.
Like, that it would be too much.
And that's when Rack comes up and introduces herself and is like, you don't like my fucking wine or champagne or whatever?
The next scene is the doctor pulling a thing of celery off of the table and switching it out with his old shitty one.
And he takes his old shitty one and sticks it in a, like, torch holder?
Why? Wall?
I don't know. I do not know. I couldn't even fully tell you what was happening in that scene either because I was like, what the fuck is he doing with the celery?
And we get like a whole sequence of him switching that out. We spend a lot of time on that.
I think it's basically him like talking to Mariner like, hey, where's Turlo? Sort of.
Yeah.
Is what the scene is. But it's all about that celery.
The celery really fucking mystifies me. Like, I know it gets an explanation like way later on.
I don't know what it is, but yeah. Don't spoil it.
I won't. But it's also like not super important. What mystifies me is the choice.
He just wears celery.
Mystifies me.
He's eccentric. So yeah, the doctor has Mariner hone in on Turlo, try to find out where he is, which Turlo has broken into this room and he notices this really cool eye grate on the floor that looks out into space. But then someone else, another pirate, comes up and is like, who left the vacuum shield on?
It needs to be off.
And he turns it off and the door locks. Turlo's locked in and the air is slowly being sucked out of the room through the grate, which it took me a while to figure out what was happening because...
Well, because...
Sticks his foot over it, but it's real bad CSO.
That's the thing. Like, I guess it's supposed to be like he's getting sucked into it, but really he just like walks over to it and then throws his body into it. And then scrambles away. And it's like, oh, it was supposed to be like pulling him in. They just did it that poorly. But also, like, at some point, space is like spinning? Why is it spinning?
The ship's not spinning. Space shouldn't be spinning.
Space should not be spinning.
And then they're just like, oh, fuck, we gotta give the idea that, like, stuff is being sucked out of that.
I guess it was just like, it wasn't being communicated the way they were hoping.
Like, you need, like, a visual element, but that's not right. it's a scene that doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
Also, at one point, he asks the Black Guardian for help, and the Black Guardian goes, nah! and then laughs. The doctor is trying to find him. He does that thing where he flips a coin, doesn't like what he got, so he flips it again.
Why flip the coin?
And then I think he like goes that direction and then gets back to where he was when he flipped the coin the first time. And he's like, huh. And then like heads the other direction. Meanwhile, Rack has taken Tegan away to meet somebody in her quarters. And then
freezes her.
Freezes her.
And puts a little jewel in her. She's got a little tiara. Tiara.
The doctor finally finds Turlo, turns the shield back on, and they examine the amplifier, which is like this big eyeball hanging above the room. And the doctor's like, it's amplifies some energy.
It needs a focus.
Yeah, it needs a focus. And it'd be about this big. And he holds his fingers up like slightly. And they're like, oh, it must. They sort of piece together that it must be the jewels because the doctor saw that jewel on the Greek ship.
And Turlo saw the sword.
Which had the red jewel on it. So they both figure that out. And then that's when we see Rack put it on Tegan's head. So the doctor and Turlo are like, all right, we got to go stop Rack. Let's come up with a plan. They like hesitate for a little bit because like we're in this room and it's like they can't hear our thoughts in here. It'd be hard to find us. We need to figure out what we're doing. All right, we're going to go find Rack and stop her. And they leave the room and immediately get caught by Mansell. And then Rack talks to the camera and laughs.
I hate it so much. Why? Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
She's just all like, I'm going to win the race. She's very camp.
I love her. Oh my gosh.
Like you got Stryker who's very serious and terrifying. And then you got her who's very big and camp. Great. So that's the end of episode 3, and we're now into the last episode, episode 4, which I have called Rack's Focus. I am killing it with these titles.
I like it.
Rack unfreezes Tegan, and I'm like, I guess that person's not showing up. Let's go back to the party. Have you tried the pretzels? Great. Tegan bumps back into Mariner, and Mariner is all like, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so empty without you. And then she's like, are you in love? And he's like, love? What's love? I want existence.
He wants to be entertained.
He just hasn't felt anything, and now he's just feeling something, and he just thinks, like, he's become obsessed with Tegan, and like he's feeling stuff that he's never felt before, but he's confusing that with, like, it's not really Tegan, you know? But he doesn't, I feel
well,
like
he doesn't have a genuine interest.
Right. He's just like, this is weird. He's just obsessed. It's not healthy or good. It's bad.
Fucking sucks. Yeah. God, he sucks. He sucks so bad. He doesn't consider Tegan as like a person or... No.
Or anyone.
Yeah, he considers Tegan to be like a bauble, like something that is interesting and entertaining that he wants to possess.
Right. That's gross and creepy and I don't like it. I was worried that they were going to try to make you like him by the end of it or something.
Nope.
But they don't.
No, this guy sucks.
He sucks through and through. The doctor is brought to Captain Rack, and Turlo immediately is like, doctor's a spy! Doctor's a spy!
I caught him. I'm great. He sucks. I will literally betray anyone given the slightest opportunity. Have we established that about my character?
To be fair, though, he's like, you should send him back to the other ship. He doesn't say, like, you should kill him, so...
So, he's not the worst, he just kind of sucks?
Well, the doctor and Tegan start to head back, and then Tegan and him are talking separately. And he's like, I think Turlo is staying on purpose to try and stop Rack. You're giving me a look that translates well to podcast.
I don't buy it.
Are you Tegan? She literally says that at the very end when she's like, I don't buy it. And the doctor's like, nah, it's cool. So Rack questions Turlo. What's your deal? Why did you stay behind? What's going on? And he's like, I want to help you win. I also would like enlightenment. Or he doesn't even know what it is. And then she says she wants enlightenment so she can create and destroy anything without the help of ephemerals. It'll give her the ability to think, I guess. She'll know everything. And she's like, enlightenment brings whatever one desires, and I desire to be amused.
You told me I wasn't allowed to identify with it.
Yeah, she's the bad guy.
Right.
And then there's a scene that's a little confusing to me. They watch a plank being set up, and it's definitely supposed to be threatening, because she's like, Turlo, you're next, because your mind is greedy. But, like, they watch a plank being set up, and they push this guy onto it, and he just walks to the end of the plank and then disappears, which I think they were saying
he was an eternal. Yeah.
And so once they pop out of there, they just pop out of existence because they don't exist in time.
Well, he can't die.
Yeah.
So like anything that would cause them to die causes them to like, what face are you making?
If that's the case, then there is a problem later. We'll get to it.
Okay.
So you're saying if like an eternal jumps off the ship, they just disappear.
If they're in conditions that would cause them to die, because they can't die because they exist outside of time, and death is something that only happens in time.
Right.
So it just causes them to, I don't know, teleport somewhere else.
Then there's definitely a problem with this.
Okay.
But I'll bring it up when we get to it. But yes, she says that Turlough's next to walk the plank because his mind is greedy. But then he's like, listen, I heard you talking in there, in that room, to some dude, and I talked to him too. We both serve the Black Guardian. And that kind of sways her a little bit. Meanwhile, we see that the finish line is in sight, and it looks like a big old chandelier. It's the home of enlightenment. It's just like a bunch of lights. That's the one I was saying, like, when they redesigned it for the updated version, the top of it looks like Turlough's crystal.
Okay.
But it's just like a big shiny bright thing that they're all heading towards, and the ships pull up level to each other, and they're like, oh no, they're gonna pass us, but why are they slowing down? And the doctor's like, oh shit, I know what's happening. The jewel is on this ship. We gotta find it. Rack takes Turlough to the weapon room and summons the power of darkness, which means there's like black light that drops down over her, and then she's just a floating head in this blackness, and then she begins talking with the Black Guardian's voice. I don't entirely know why she needs the Black Guardian's power. I get to power this technological weapon.
It's just, that's how it works.
All right. And they're powering up the thing to shoot a laser beam or whatever at the focus, at the jewel. So the doctor finds the jewel, because Tegan's like, I think I saw it in my tiara when I was changing clothes.
He's
like,
well, no, she doesn't know.
Yeah, she doesn't know. And then he's like, we're looking for a jewel. She's like that thing? And then he gets it and he smashes it with an axe. Smashes it into a bunch of pieces.
Which doesn't go well.
No, it makes it worse.
It just amplified it. Because now it's being focused through a bunch of little pieces.
Which is represented by that floating head turning into many floating heads.
It's awesome.
So they gather up the pieces and the doctor chucks them overboard and they explode as the weapon hits them. And then Mariner says, if you had just imagined them off the side of the ship, I could have done that. It would have been quicker. I could have made it a reality. Tegan's like, why didn't you say that sooner? And that's when the doctor's like, they're just empty-headed fuckwits.
Yeah, that's pretty much the exact dialogue.
By the way, we haven't said this, but the ships are running off of solar winds, right?
Yeah, they have actual sails, and the sails are actually doing stuff.
Yeah, because they're like, they actually make a point of like, it works like a real ship, because otherwise it's not fun. It has to be this way. It has to be as accurate as possible. Otherwise, what's the point? But the wind dies down, and the ships slow down, but Rack's ship has like, stored some solar wind or something.
They've got fancy sails.
So yeah, so they keep pulling forward. The doctor sort of finds out that the TARDIS, where it went to, was like, they just thought it away.
Yeah, they're like, he asks where it is, and he's like, oh, it's in your mind. It's just stored there.
The doctor's like, I can fix everything. I need to get on our ship, but I need my ship to get onto our ship. So he's like, just think the TARDIS. And I'll make it real. So the doctor just thinks the TARDIS at Mariner and then gets on her ship.
That would be so useful to be able to just store objects in your own thoughts. I would never lose my keys again.
I don't know.
You think I'd be more You're likely very to lose forgetful. Them? No, I would just have to think about them.
There'd just be an open jar of peanut butter in your brain.
Don't think it can go bad, though.
You'd be like, where's my phone? And I'd call it and your whole head would vibrate.
By thinking about my phone, I'd make it real and then I'd be there again.
And then you'd unthink it away?
And then I'd unthink it away.
That's very easy for you to do. It's very easy for you to forget about things.
Yeah, super easy.
I don't
yes.
want you to have this power because I would cease to exist constantly.
I don't think that's a fair thing to say.
I love you. Where were we? The doctor goes over to the ship, but he leaves Tegan behind because Mariner won't let her go because
he fucking sucks.
So the doctor tries to stop Rack. He confronts her, and then she's like, well, I've got the upper hand. They're in that room, too, and the shield is off, I guess. I don't know. And Turlo comes for the doctor, and then we see from Tegan's point of view, basically, two bodies float out of the Buccaneer that fell through the eye grate, and you assume that it is the doctor and, I guess, Turlo?
Yeah.
As the Doctor Who theme plays sadly. It's very good.
But you'd be wrong.
It was actually Captain Rack and Mansell.
Sad.
So, the one Eternal who went off the end of the plank, as soon as he got to the end of the plank, disappeared. Why didn't Rack?
Because she had the...
You started to say something like, I'll think of something.
I did. Because she didn't die yet. It only happens when they would have died.
That one guy disappeared the second he was at the end of the plank. He didn't even like really step off of it. He just went, boop.
Consider this. I don't know.
You just need a fake out. That's all it is it's a fake out.
Yeah. Man.
They could have bypassed this whole thing by not having the guy disappear off the end of the plank.
I'll think of something.
Steve Conway, if you can tell us, you know about boats.
Do you
boats.
Know how Eternals work? I hear that's part of boats.
Did anyone ever walk the plank on your boat? So Mariner reads Tegan's grief and is all like, that's weird. It's weird how you're just sad. It's weird. And then all of the ephemerals start disappearing. And it's really great too. Like, there'll be music. Like, there's the whatever the theme is for certain scenes, like there's the party music, and then the ephemerals disappear and the music goes away and it's just silent. And then like the sailors are running around on the ship and then they disappear and then it's just silent. It's very creepy. And then the Enlighteners show up and they are the Black Guardian and the White Guardian, and they have their glowing orb of enlightenment. They sit on a table and they wait for the winner, and they have a bit of a chat about like, evil will never win. Evil has to win. I don't know, you know, that bullshit. Good and evil. We're good and evil. That's what we are. Can't exist without each other. That sort of thing. Then they like sit back and wait for the winner. And the doctor is the winner. He comes in. He didn't actually fall out of that hole. But he's like,
just that hot, hot pirate.
She was too hot to disappear.
Too hot for this world.
They're like, well, I guess you get enlightenment. And the doctor's like, I don't want it. I do not accept. And then the other Eternals come onto the ship to pay homage. They say they're going there to pay homage to the victor. And the Guardians banish the Eternals, Captain Stryker and Mariner. But Mariner's all like, but I don't want to go. I want to stay with Tegan. Tegan, tell them. Make them stop. And she's like...
Tegan's like, I don't know him.
I don't
know. Actually, no, she feels a little bad.
She feels a little bad, but she also doesn't try very hard.
She feels more bad than she probably should.
She literally, I think she says, there's nothing I can do. Again, she doesn't try.
No.
And then he's like, they fade away and Mariner's all like, no, and disappears. He's like, I want to feel things. I don't want to go back to...
That guy fucking sucked.
So they're out of the plot now.
Thank Christ.
Because the doctor didn't take it. Turlo also was on the ship, so he is also technically a winner.
Turlo immediately is like, ah, mine, gimme, want it.
I bet I can sell that for a buck or two. He can either give up enlightenment or take enlightenment, but he has to kill the doctor. So kill the doctor or give up enlightenment.
Which, why?
I don't know.
Like, he won fair and square.
He did. Well.
Kind of what? Fair. Maybe not square.
So Turlo is debating it, and then he flings it into the orb, into the Black Guardian, who goes up in flames and is like, what a world! And disappears, and Turlo looks at his crystal, and it's gone completely black. He's like, I didn't want it anyway, and chucks it into the Black Guardian fire. The doctor, like, says something to him. I don't know, like, he trusts Turlo, and Tegan's like, the fuck?
Tegan is the only sensible one.
She's like, I don't trust this asshole. And the doctor's
he decided
like,
literally at the last minute not to kill you, and it was a hard choice for him. He had to think really hard about it, and he whined the whole time. And he didn't even know what enlightenment was.
It's true. And the doctor said, well, the doctor tells us, the doctor says, enlightenment wasn't the diamond. It was the choice. It was inside you all along. It's real cheesy.
Yeah, but you know what? The rest of the cereal's so good, I don't care.
And it's at this point that the doctor just seems, I don't know about the doctor or Peter Davison, just seems really tired. Like, are we, this has been a long cereal. Can we wrap this up?
He just, I don't know what the line is, but I know he gives the most, like, uninspired reading.
Well, the White Guardian says, disappears, but before he does, he's like, keep an eye out for the Black Guardian. He's probably not really dead because he can't really die. He's like an Eternal. And, like, disappears. And the doctor's like, ugh. They're like, where should we go? And Turlough's like, let's go to my home planet. And the doctor just goes, why not?
He's literally like, whatever.
Why not? It's literally, why not? That's a way to end a serial. Just the doctor going, why not?
We've got the entire universe. Where should we go next? I don't know. Where do you want
to
go?
Let's go to my home planet, doctor. Fine. I don't give a shit. It's just, I want a nap. Okay, so like the doctor's been very disappointed in them for not wanting to do adventures. And now he's the
now
one who's
he's
like,
done. That's how it happens sometimes, where, like, one person's ready to go out, but then the other person takes too long getting ready, and now the other person's tired and doesn't want to go out.
It's just how it is sometimes. But that's it. That's the end of episode 4, and it's the end of Enlightenment. I hope you feel enlightened.
Oh.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to say Turl Overboard one more time, and then we're going to do our final thoughts.
The next evolutionary leap in the Thunderverse has arrived. The Ring of Thunder is a whole week's wrestling in a half hour.
What?
The Ring of Thunder is a whole week's wrestling in a half hour.
What?
Every show.
What?
What?
What? What?
You come up around here wetting in sexy Thor's yard like he's anything but the hammer swinging, burrito eating, mic blazing, marking out but never tapping out Lord of Thunder, like you would do anything but sit down, open your ears, and take in the Ring of Thunder wherever you find your podcasts, like you would find any other podcast in the Thunderverse or the ESO Network.
And we are back. Tony.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
I do.
What time is it? You know, I cut out long silences, right?
Well, that's a shame.
I leave some of the silences in for this bit because it's the bit you're doing is torturing me.
Yeah.
Slowly.
It's my favorite part of the podcast, to be honest.
So what time is it?
9:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And what do we do at this point in the podcast?
This bit.
What do we do after this bit?
The podcast is over and we go to bed.
Before the podcast is over, but after this bit, we do something.
I plug
no,
my
before
show.
Before plugs.
And I ask
before
people,
plugs.
Oh, before plugs.
Yes.
We do final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
I just really want to talk about how fucking good this serial was. The villains were amazing. I like it when you have kind of a more, like, you get to have both the camp villain and the more serious villain. I deserve both. I also really think that Mariner was perfectly despicable. That character, like, is so, like, as a person that is so recognizable to me that I, like, picked up on it in, like, the first 5 seconds. I don't know. It was interesting getting it to see explored in, like, a Doctor Who context of, like, this guy. I know this guy. This guy fucking sucks. And so it was great to see that guy be a Doctor Who villain, really. There was so much, just, like, beautiful design, beautiful shots, the lighting of the TARDIS, amazing. We should do that more often. And also, it was fun. You're in a boat in space. You've got sexy pirates. You've got a race. If I have any problems with the serial, it's that, like, the black and white guardians being the ones hosting the race doesn't super make sense to me. Because then, like, why and like why any of it?
I mean, to be fair, that was not in the original draft, so
yeah. And that definitely feels like a later addition, but it's not like make anything so broken that it stops being enjoyable. It's just a super fun serial, though. It seems to at least have some things to say, which is like, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, I like this one a lot. It's probably the best of the season just because it's very tight. It's very well paced. It's very well written. I liked all of the characters in it, even Turlough. Turlough was great. Tegan was great. The Doctor was great. Like, everybody got stuff to do, and they were having fun. And it was just really good. I don't know. It's just a solid, solid serial. And we had some great side characters. Like, you've got the terrifying Stryker, the terrifying and creepy Mariner. You've got the super fun Captain Rack. And I don't entirely know what he's doing, but I love that he's doing it. Mansell. Legion. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And the design is really great. I love those ships. Seeing anytime they just show, like, the ships floating in space, I just love it so much. It looks so good. It makes me weirdly nostalgic because of, like, 80s movies I watched as a kid. I don't know. I loved it. It's very, very magical in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Black Guardian, White Guardian stuff doesn't totally work, but so much of the rest of it does. That I don't care. And like,
also, I'll forgive anything for that bird hat.
Yeah, those bird hats are great. Like, even though their stuff doesn't fully gel, they're doing a good job. They're having fun. And whatnot. I wouldn't mind watching the serial again because there's just so much good stuff going on in it. It has like a good mood. Like, it starts off creepy and you're not certain what's going on, and then it becomes fun and, you know, rowdy a little bit, I guess.
Fantastic.
It's just very well made. And I think it is a good example of why we should just maybe let women do Doctor Who more often. Because it's good. Barbara Clegg wrote this episode, and I don't think she wrote any other Doctor Who serials, which is sad.
What a mistake.
And she said that what inspired her to write this story was her rich relatives coming over and asking her to entertain them. And her getting very annoyed about that.
That's excellent.
And I assume there was probably like some creepy dude that was all like hot for her, but a dick bag. Like, there's no way.
Oh yeah, that is, like I said, that is a very specific person.
Yeah. He literally says, you're not like other ephemerals, which is, you're not like other girls. It's 100% that. But yeah, I can't recommend this highly enough. I think this season has been great.
Yeah!
It's been pretty, pretty solid. It reminds me a lot of the Key to Time season, which, you know, Black Guardian.
Makes sense.
But yeah, before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Please, if you'd like to, follow me on Twitter. I'm funny there sometimes. And that's, why are you making a face?
They don't know that.
They will once they go and follow me.
This face of like, of enthusiastic agreement?
That is not what happened. Okay. Anyway, you should follow me on Twitter. It's at Forward Power. That's FWDPWR. Just because I tweet things and I would like other people to read them. I started a new Twitter account. Well, I started using an old Twitter account that's like attached to my name, and it doesn't have any followers yet. And so I'm trying to correct this. So that's at Forward Power, FWDPWR. I tweet things on it. Also, as always, please check out The Unseen World. If you would like, go ahead and give our Facebook page a follow right now. We're starting to release, I've been asked to like record these little behind the scenes things as episodes go up. An episode will air on Friday, and then on Saturday there'll be a little video of me kind of either telling a story of something that happened behind the scenes or asking you guys to share stories. So it'd be excellent if we've got
people engaged with it.
Yes, because that looks good for me. So that's See Unseen World. We're See Unseen World on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if you want to give us a follow there. Again, you can watch the episodes on demand. You can watch it on the Roku on the Heartland channel. You can watch it online at watchheartlandtv.com. Those are all the online places, I think. And you can just watch them on demand whenever you want.
And season 2 is coming soon.
Season 2 is coming very soon.
We've been promoting the hell out of it, but it's actually about to happen.
Yeah, we've got 4 episodes in the can and 2 more that are being edited right now. So once those are done, we can go ahead and start airing them.
And I want to say buy Road Trippy, the book I wrote with Ray Friesen and Christine Cherry. It's on Amazon. Road Trippy by J.B. Hivemind. I don't know if we can promote it yet.
I don't think we're ready to promote it yet.
Okay, I'll wait then. I will say there might be another book-related project
in the works
in the future. So I will talk about it more when there are details and such. But it's exciting, and hopefully that'll.
I'm very excited about it, and it also involves a lot of guests.
Rassilon people,
yeah, a lot of friends of Rassilon are people who are in
guests of Rassilon too.
Yes, are involved in putting something really cool together, and I hope we're able to talk about it soon.
But if you liked this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And if you'd like to help us out, you can become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/watchathon. Or you can find our Amazon wish list at WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing a DVD or Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this very episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
Check him out at MatthewGolden.net. And I want to give a special shout out to Vincent E.L. as well for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
You can check them out at soundcloud.com/VincentEL or VincentEL.bandcamp.com. They also do the theme song for Burn Noticed, Atop the Fourth Wall, Others, and are going viral with Fuck the Fire Department. They're pretty great. But tune in next time when we talk about the season finale, a two-parter.
A two-parter?
Yeah, there was supposed to be a four-parter after it, but like there was a strike that happened. It actually fucked up this episode. They cast certain people that they couldn't get because they had to delay filming. There was supposed to be this next two-parter and then a four-parter called The Return that I believe gets pushed to next season and becomes Resurrection of the Daleks. Tune in next time when we talk about a two-parter called The King's Demons. Until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Turtle overboard.
Why not?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.